Our scripture readings today come from the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 3, and it is a piece that you probably know well. It is something that we've heard, it's been turned into music, and it is a piece that reminds us of the rhythms of life. There is a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to uproot. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to tear down and a time to build. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to scatter stones and a time to gather them. A time to embrace and a time to refrain. A time to search and a time to give up, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to mend, a time to be silent and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. Our New Testament reading comes from the Gospel of Matthew, the 3rd chapter, verses 13 through 17. Listen now for the word of God. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" Jesus replied, "Let it be so now, for it is proper for us to do this, to fulfill all righteousness." Then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water, and at that moment, heaven opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." Thanks be to God for God's word. 3 Sundays ago, we shared the baptism of little Ayla Aloha Rice Anderson. And it was a wonderful thing to be gathered in such an exciting moment. And 2 Saturdays ago, community members and our congregation gathered for Andrew Goulet's memorial service. And yesterday, we celebrated the marriage of Kelsey Mae D'Angelo to Mosier William Worth. This building, our community, we walk together, don't we? We uphold each other, we carry one another, we share life's blessings and banes. There was a beautiful line in the vows that Kelsey and Mo wrote, and they said, "We will share together whatever sorrow, burden, and joy life sends us." And that is truly what we do as the community of God. We have poignant and powerful moments. We share birth and death and everything in between. Kelsey struggled through some difficult teenage years, and she had to drop out of the confirmation class because it was just too much. And yet afterwards, she came back and said, "I want to revisit this." And she was confirmed all on her own. Because this tradition, this community, this place, this truth mattered to her. I was privileged to preside at her wedding a couple years ago, and she brought her baby back here to be baptized. Andrew Goulet has swept or shoveled nearly every single flat surface in this church, and if he didn't sweep or shovel it, he banged on it with his feet or his hands. He filled this building with his life. And he too wrestled with communion. We worked on his statement of faith, and I finally got to the point where I let him dictate it. I'd say, "What do you think about God?" He'd say, "God's good." I'd say, "Well, what does that mean?" And he came up with a powerful statement of faith that we included in the bulletin for his service, and that was a comfort and a solace to those of us who were grieving. Pam Lucas was here last week, and Bob Hingston showed it to her, and she said, "This is seminary worthy." He knew God, and he knew God's love found in this community. Kelsey was baptized and confirmed in this church and continued to attend every single Christmas Eve service that I've been here. And she's been a faithful supporter of the rummage sale. What we do here matters. We are not just doing what we've always done because that's the way we do it. We are doing what we do because we know God is alive and we know Christ is present. And it's not just for us old timers to have this story and know this idea of redemption and renewal. It is for the youngest in our midst, whose lives will be complicated beyond our imagining, and yet who, when grounded in this truth, will have resources that they will need and they will depend upon. For yesterday's wedding, Kelsey had requested that she be able to ring the bell following the exchanging of her vows. But as of last Wednesday, there was still no rope connected with the bell. I did a lot of Googling research to see if there was a special name for it. You know, like when you're sailing, there's the painter, or there's no name. It's just rope, bell, bell rope. There's a million names for the yoke and the chassel and the lip and the mouth and the, just, it's just a rope. It's just a rope housed in a dirty, hot, sweltering place. And John Hammond and Bob Hingston spent hours both on Thursday and Friday. And let me tell you, we're huggers in this church, but I wouldn't touch those two men when they emerged. But I wanted to because I was so grateful. They spent that time so that Kelsey could ring that bell. And now all of us are blessed by it. So why am I going on and on about these events? Because it matters that young people find a home here, and that middle-aged people and older people, that people who are searching, who need to know that they are loved, who need to know that life has purpose, even in its chaos and randomness. It matters that these doors are open and that the gospel of Jesus Christ is preached day in and day out, for better or worse. It matters that we provide a place to ground people in God's sustaining, empowering, and inspiring love. I recently heard a statistic that 58% of transgendered youth self-harm if they don't have parental support, but only 4% self-harm if they do have parental support. In many ways, we serve as parental support for children and adults along the way. We are the conduits of God's love, and it is essential that our open and affirming, welcoming presence remain in this community. Another heart-painted rock showed up on our steps just in the last 2 weeks. We are known as a place where people can be comforted, can be safe, can be loved. Several times I've brought out and reworked a baptism sermon that talks about roots and wings, that we need to ground people in the tradition and give them the freedom to fly. Many of you know that it took me a really long time to get pregnant, and very soon after this long-awaited and cherished baby was born, my mother called and said, "You need to let go a little bit every day." I thought, holy moly, I'm just grabbing on, really? I need to let go a little bit every day? Caleb goes to college in Florida, and some days that is a heartbreak for me. But mostly it is a joy and a wonder to see him thriving in his chosen life with his chosen partner in a place where he has made his own. Many of you are wrestling with the fact that I am leaving. And I trust that God is present in this. And I know that God will continue to bless Old South Church. If you think I've been a blessing, you won't believe what God has in store for you next. If you think I haven't been a blessing, then you're thanking God, hallelujah, she's going. In either case, praise be to God that we are the apple of God's eye. And yet God has a heart so big that every congregation, every person is the apple of God's eye. That's the most extraordinary thing about God. God's love is measureless, fathomless, and almost inconceivable to us. Recently, someone sent me something in
a present that was a beautiful photograph of a young girl with a crown on. And I don't remember the exact words, but it says, "When I forget who I am and I feel incompetent and unable and incapable, I straighten my crown and I remember whose child I am." I wish that for you all. In the next months of transition and change, in the days when you don't know what will happen, and you're concerned about who will come, and you wonder if you have the stamina and the skills to continue to open these doors to love, straighten your crowns and remember whose children you are. You are the children of the Almighty God who loves you more profoundly than you can understand, and who walks with you day in and day out. Remember what Jesus heard. "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." And hear these words from the poet Jan Richardson, who knows and loves God. "Beloved is where we begin," is the name of her poem. All of the young people that I mentioned who returned to this church time and again knew they were beloved here. May you know you are beloved here. If you would enter into the wilderness, do not begin without a blessing. Do not leave without hearing who you are, beloved. Named by the one who has traveled this path before you. Do not go without letting it echo in your ears. And if you find it is hard to let it into your heart, do not despair. That is what the journey is for. I cannot promise this blessing will free you from danger, from fear, from hunger or thirst, from the scorching of the sun or the fall of the night. But I can tell you that on this path there will be help. I can tell you that on that way there will be rest. I can tell you that you will know the strange graces that come to our aid only on a road such as this, that fly to meet us, bearing comfort and strength, that come alongside us for no other cause than to lean themselves toward our ear and with their curious insistence whisper our name, beloved. Beloved, beloved, beloved. May you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you are beloved and that God is present and faithful now and always. Amen.